This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Me, Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia and everywhere else on the East Coast. We are 30-ish miles west, Ashburn, Virginia. We are expecting to hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn probably about a half hour from now. We're here. We will take it live. We got a long-ass cord directly from Dan's microphone, so you're not going to get it faster anywhere else. All right? Before we get into Power Ranks, we do that every Wednesday in this slot from NFL.com. The theory is that they are the least hot takery of them all. News out of Dallas.
Okay.
Todd Archer covers the Cowboys. The Cowboys will be without wide receiver Brandon Cooks for at least this week against the Steelers and potentially longer after an infection developed in his right knee following a procedure he had after remaining in New York following the win against the Giants, according to multiple sources.
Wow.
So that game was also last Thursday night.
Yes.
So last Thursday night, he had to stick around in New York, get a procedure. Now, a procedure can mean anything from just some stitches to a laser prodding around inside your knee. A procedure is pretty ambiguous, but the infection stuff is scary.
You start thinking all kinds of stuff.
I mean, if you're a Commanders fan, you can't help but start thinking about Alex.
Yeah.
That's where my mind goes. Not to suggest this is at all that
but
severe.
What's the thing people get a lot when they have, like, surgeries and stuff?
MRSA and all that? Yeah.
You don't want that.
So I have a quick thought question from that. Does that change anything with Davante Adams?
If they think it could be longer, it may make them become more of a guy. Let's think about this. Jerry Jones had discussed why he didn't spend money for
Derrick Henry. When he ran all over.
If somebody else is possible to go to him, you think he'll let him go?
I don't know. It's pretty interesting, though. And I believe since they reworked some contracts and got some extensions done, that their salary cap situation has improved significantly since they got the Dak deal done and they got the CD deal done. Davante in Dallas would be something else. I'm not sure I see it happening. But
possible.
I don't know. That's just an interesting little subplot. News breaking there that Brandon Cooks is out at least this week. Anytime it's an infection, you hope it doesn't get serious because the infection's getting your bloodstream. That's a
whole new ball
that ain't
game.
A high ankle sprain. That's no. A different situation. You need doctors. Like, you go from ice and wrapping it up to, like, antibiotics and transfusions.
It can get serious.
And not the cool kind of transfusions you get at golf courses. All right, let's get to the power ranks. We got to stick with it, I think. Who you got number one?
Still got the Chiefs as number one.
Forever until otherwise.
Until
at least till they lose, right?
Yeah, at least they lose and look bad losing.
I got that. I don't know how much you're going to like this.
Okay.
Guess who they got at number one?
They got at number one. They probably have Buffalo still?
No.
Minnesota. No, I'm not buying that one.
How you feeling about Darnold?
I think Darnold's played well. I think the defense has helped him out a lot. But I think what they're doing is they're making Kirk second guess. Like, hey, man, thank you.
A question I have Whenever you see a discrepancy like this, I tend to be a little skeptical. The Vikes are 4-0. The Packers, you go back to that luck index thing I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Packers missed two field goals in that game. Mm-hmm. Vikings won by two. I think the final was 31-29. It might have been 31-28, regardless. The Vikings, through four games, are fourth in points scored.
Okay.
But they're 10th in yards gained. It's a little bit of a delta there.
Well, I look at this, though, Jay. 10th in the league is not bad.
Sure, but 10th to – if it was –
but
7th to 4th, I think it's pretty
what I try to make sure you understand this. What, people talk a lot about how good the Vikings' defense is, right? So you get a short field. So your yards gained will not necessarily be like the other team that has to drive a long way.
Well, that would make sense, but the numbers don't support that either.
What's the numbers now?
Fourth in points allowed, which is damn good. Mm-hmm. Top five in the league. They're giving up. They are 23rd in yards allowed. That's bottom third of the league. So right now, it would appear to me they're having really good turnover luck.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, but that's totally different. The defense gives their offense a short field. They don't get a lot of yards. Okay?
No, the defense is probably
– They when they get turnovers, the offense gets a short field, I'm saying. Now, if they get driven on, they get driven on. But they've been beating people.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers would have me wary. They did kick the ass of the Texans, which probably helps their offensive stats here. But if you look, they've created 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 turnovers in four games.
Four games.
That's going to make a lot of difference.
That's a lot of short fields.
Maybe, yeah, sure. But some teams might just be good at creating turnovers, but a lot of that ends up being puck luck, how a football bounces.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, if you got 10 in 4 weeks, you are making some things happen.
Sure. I gotta look something up real quick, because looking at these numbers, feels a little fadey to me. They're hosting the Jets. They're hosting the Jets, and they're only favored by 3. The Jets just lost at home to the Broncos. The whole world is betting on the Vikings. Feels a little fadey to me.
Always plays well against the Vikings in Minnesota.
Feels a little fadey to me. All right, so power ranks, you got Vikes at 1, Chiefs at 2. You know, maybe they do something about Rashee Rice. I don't think they will. I think the Chiefs are like, all right, we'll figure something out.
that's Andy Reid, man. And they probably have somebody on the roster that they feel good about. They just have been waiting to give him a little
time. Aren't they still waiting for Hollywood Brown to come back?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't he?
So if Hollywood Brown comes back, then they got him and Worthy.
Right. Kelsey hasn't shown him anything yet this year.
Oh, last game he did.
I wouldn't continue.
His best game last game.
I wouldn't continue to doubt he doesn't emerge at some point.
Yeah.
Number 3, I agree with this because they really looked impressive. They got the Lions at 3, Bills at 4, Texans 5. Does that all sound right? Okay, that's your top 5.
Texans though, I don't know for sure right now at 5. I don't know about that.
Yeah. But. I forgot. I needed to check in with the boss. Landfill, how do you feel about the Minnesota Vikings being number 1 in the power ranks?
I don't feel good. Obviously, Sam Darnold is a ticking time bomb. He's going to start seeing ghosts again at some point. I wouldn't put him there.
It feels a little premature. We'll see. I think your boy's going to bet on the Jets.
Yeah, Kelsey had 7 for 89 last
sure.
game. So he's coming around. He's getting in shape.
No touchdowns on the season, though.
Still that round.
For a dude that's always a red zone threat.
Don't worry, he'll get there.
Normally, I have to scroll pretty far.
He came back a little heavier.
I believe that.
Than he normally was. He's been hanging out with Taylor.
On the buffet circuit. Normally, I have to scroll down pretty far to figure out where the Commanders are.
Uh-huh.
And last week, we didn't think they were high enough, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think they moved up 12 spots from 28 to 16. For the sake of getting out on time to appease my man Landini, where do you think the Commanders land this year?
This week. Yeah. They won again, 16. I think they are now at number 10.
Jeff, I doubt you've looked. Have you looked?
I haven't looked.
I know. I believe you. Jeff, have you looked? Where would you have the Commanders this week?
I haven't looked yet.
So don't look. Give me a guess.
Number one.
We'll see. We got... I'm going to go number eight.
Lampville, I'm sure you've looked. So I started scrolling like I normally do. One through five goes Vikings, Chiefs, Lions, Bills, Texans. Number six, even though they're 2-2, the Ravens had a really impressive Sunday night game. If they run the ball like that, they're going to beat most teams. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, they don't run the ball like that. That's on them. Number seven in the league, Brian, NFL.com, Washington Commanders.
Wow.
Up nine spots.
Wow.
I read now from NFL.com, Eric Edholm. Let the record show that I broadcast my optimism for this team's chances back in August. But even in my wildest dreams, I didn't think I'd be approaching true believer status this quickly. Are the Commanders this year's version of the 2023 Texans? Consider that Houston started last season with a 3-4 record, and here the Commanders are sitting at 3-1 with only five more road games left on the schedule. There are some truly winnable contests upcoming, along with an absolute hoot of a matchup, Jaden Daniels versus Lamar Jackson in Week 6. Mm. The Daniels magic appears to be real, and the NFC East isn't nearly the gauntlet some thought it would be. What a refreshing change this year has been so far in D.C., and I can't wait to see how it ends. But I'm fine going out on a limb here and now saying this team has an excellent chance to make a postseason run. Bookmark it.
Wow. I watched a game last – I mean, a show. I was watching a little bit of it last night. My number three, I think two or three he put. People are starting to believe in this. And – they're not just judging teams based off of what they've done in the past. They're judging people based off of what they've done this year and what they're doing. We don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I think you look at things, and we normally say people get better as the year goes on. If they get better and the defense really catches up, it could be a problem for some people. Because I think a lot of people, it's hard for them to judge this team just based off of this year. You know what I mean?
Sure. Stephen A.
Uh-huh.
You know his top five?
He got them in there.
Vikings, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Commanders.
Yeah.
One thing with this NFL.com, they got the Commanders at 7. Tampa, who kicked their ass week one, mm-hmm. is 8.
Yeah. You beat them. You beat them, and then you hadn't looked as good after you beat them like that.
They just beat the tar out of Philly.
But then they came back. Look at the games that Washington has won. They beat the Giants. They had a heavyweight match against Cincinnati and handled it. And then the next game, you destroy your team.
Sure.
So people looking at they seem to be ascending.
On a short week.
Yeah. Bam. Jeff, there you go. On a short
let
week,
know, Jeff.
On
Jeff,
a short week and hadn't been at home.
How do you feel about them being 7th? Does that make you nervous?
Nervous? Man, I don't. I'm
what,
over
you
here.
Think it's too low?
Nah. I'm just excited, man. Let's just roll with it.
I think it's fair to be excited.
Look, don't get nervous, man. You must enjoy this, man. When your team, when you've been asking for your team to get better and you want people to talk about your team and you've been, oh, man, I can't wait till we do this. When they start doing it, don't start all of a sudden now getting scared. Revel in that, man. Be happy.
I agree with you. Landy, does number 7 seem too high?
No, I love it. They've been dominating.
They've been really good, man. No fading Jaden. They go Tampa 8. Landfill, I got a little inside baseball here. If the Skins are going to be so high in these power ranks, we might have to rethink what segment this is. You know, there's not a lot of intrigue. We don't have to debate, 25, yeah, 26.
We need to do like a 45 segment.
I think this week, if they really can handle Cleveland, the excitement for next week, going to Baltimore, Lamar versus Jaden, is going to be just crazy.
I know we normally do like a show at a bar in the area.
You want to go up there?
Nah, I'm going to do it down here. I don't want to do it up there in Baltimore. A little different over that way.
It'd be fun, man.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Dude, the offensive line for me for Washington has been such a driving factor in this. Mm-hmm. I just saw this from Galdi. ESPN does this like run block, pass block, win rate. Now these are getting kind of subjective here, but to me it matches the eye test. According to ESPN, the Commanders are number one in the NFL in run block win rate, number eight in pass block win rate. And then Ben Baldwin, who is a heavy analytics guy, says that the Commanders have the fifth best offensive line in pass pro. And maybe pass pro should be beyond just the offensive line. You got tight ends.
Well, tight ends, everybody in it together. But, you know, I think, listen, all that matters is your quarterback gets rid of the football and doesn't get sacked. And whether the guy just comes off or whatever, he doesn't hit your quarterback, it's a successful block. When you're running, everyone thinks you got to pancake somebody. No, if you block him, your guy get past him, he could be coming off. It's a successful block. That's all that matters.
Dan Quinn will address the media next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Just being on the road, man, we are absolutely lit to be coming home and hopefully create a home field advantage. Cool. It's as fun as you could possibly imagine when a stadium's going crazy for the team. And so we're certainly wanting to capture that. So all that said, ready to get rocking with you guys.
Do you have a feel for a McGee or anybody like that who might be close to that, or do you have to just wait to see?
Yeah, we really have to wait, John. These guys have been out for a while, and so let's, you know, that's why you have the, you know, the extended time
all
to
the way.
Get them ready to play. And so that's where we'll go into, and each one will be, you know, its own individual case too.
And with the offense, there's a lot of you guys using the up tempo and the no huddle and stuff. A lot of different formations within that. What does it say about the offense that you guys can do that now, and Jaden in particular, and how much does it hurt a defense when you're going at that tempo with different looks?
That's the part, I think, that's the you know, the hardest part, John, because also changing personnel groups within that. So from, you know, three wide receivers to two to one to four and back in and out of that, and then out of the huddle, you know, breaking some. So just the different variations of that tempo. It's hard to practice because sometimes we'll go, you know, a few plays in a row or change. So that's the difficult part of seeing some formations that will change at the last moment.
I know when you and Cliff came in, there was a lot of talk about really tailoring things to the personnel, to the players you have.
Right.
How have you seen Cliff do that with Jaden?
I think the first part, Nick, was probably like there's an exploring that goes on. And if you go all the way back, there was, you know, reps. You know, what would we feature for Jaden? What would we feature for Marcus? And what routes were he most comfortable with coming in? And so we actually had some that were some of his favorite concepts from LSU. And we started from there. And that was 100% from Cliff to say, hey, what are some ones that, you know, coming out of bed, you want this play called? And you know it like the back of your hand. And so we started from there. And then as you added and you felt more comfortable, that's why the reps are so important. And so from walkthroughs and training camp reps, and then you kind of tailor it on both sides of the ball. What's good enough? What's not? What should we hold and wait for later? Some things that we would still be working on now may not be game ready, but there are still concepts that you continue to work, and then also finding the personnel for some of them are, is really important too.
And Jaden's vision behind the line, is that, is it where you expected for a player coming in? Is it farther ahead? I mean,
yeah, I didn't go in thinking, like, I didn't have like specific expectations on vision of where to go. The things that have been so impressive to me are, like I said before, his ability to stay in the process, keep the focus, where to go with the read. So I wouldn't say it's like I didn't have a label for it to begin with, but it's definitely one of the things that, you know, I admire about, like, a lot of this, so much of this comes, Nicky, from like his work on the field, off the field. Like, he really puts it in, and that's why so many of his teammates would absolutely just fight for him at the drop of a hat, because they know how hard he's also working to execute the offense too.
What has Bobby meant to the defense as the unit has tried to find its footing?
I think the calming presence, you know, is there to say, okay, like, may have not hit this, or, and he's got really high standards for how to do things. So, so much of his is a conversation, a talk to go through it. But that, those are the things for linebackers especially to come and see and work with. That's like, you can't put a price on that.
And you've played in Washington when the Cowboys have had great road crowds here. I wonder what it would mean for you now here to have a good home crowd, get a real home field advantage with the
offense. Yeah, and so no difference to anybody else, but just the home field crowd, like anywhere that I've been that really got rocking, like, it's a huge advantage, you know, for the team, because as loud as it can get and silent cadences and all that goes with that, it's just an absolute blast. The energy, you know, goes, you know, through the roof. So that's what we'll dig for and keep, you know, battling for it. And, you know, the better that we can play, you know, the more we can create that together. And then it becomes like, man, this is a really hard place to play when you tie all of the things together.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
There's still some lingering conversations outside the organization on a wide receiver, number two. Is that any type of concern of really establishing that firm second guy, or is a game-to-game kind of who evolves and who steps up?
Yeah.
With you?
No, I'll let you and the guys outside have those ones. For us, you know, we're really focused on the guys that are here, honestly, just absolutely battling for it. What you will see sometimes each week is some reps may change, you know, position, what's needed maybe for that game plan or for how we'd want to attack. But we're really pleased with the group and their competitive nature, what they stand for.
And then looking at the Cleveland Browns, so last week coming into their matchup with the Browns, the Raiders are one of the worst or the worst rushing team in the NFL. We're able to basically double up their season production in one game. Is there, I know you don't want to share too much, but is there anything that stood out from their performance that you feel like you can lean on as well?
I think one thing that I really think about Cleveland that first comes to mind, like, this is a tough and resilient group. I think they kind of showed that last year to go through quarterback changes and injuries, and they had some of that, you know, through the starting part of this year. And so I think that's one of the things that I look at first, like, man, this is a tough and resilient group, and we know we'll get their best coming in this one, ready to fight for it, you know, and they'll get ours as well. But no, nothing past that. Each game, you know, matches up a little bit differently, and we know the strengths, you know, where they're at, and you know, that's why we're really looking forward to this battle. There's all sorts of cool matchups, including on special teams. I think these are two really effective cover units that have guys that'll battle for it. And I think Larry and Bubba, you know, that not only they good special teams coaches, some of the best in the league, they were also like old teammates back in the day. So there'll be all these battles within the battle that I'm looking forward to.
Battle within the battle. When you only have four games played, are there stats or specific things on film you look at more intensely in a small sample?
No, I wouldn't say you're getting to get more after four, but each game the matchups are different. You know, are you blitzing this amount or going to this amount? It's like, what's required, honestly, for that game? So it's almost like you need to look at it for that game. Did you do what you said you were going to do? And did you play in the style and the attitude that you wanted to play? So you almost look at it as, okay, what happened in this game, in this matchup, and the things that we had to do? So we look at it probably from that space first. And then as the, you know, scouting is going on for yourself, you want to make sure if there's a vulnerable spot that you're working extra on it. Usually there's a reason why something is not going quite right. If it was one thing, you know, you take the play out and move it down the road. So usually it's, you know, a combination of things.
And then between the 3-1 record, Jaden's level of play, the national folks are all saying, wow, the surprise is building in Washington. What, if any, level of surprise are you through 4 weeks in your team?
I'm not surprised. I knew the connection would be the number one thing for us to see if we could play well, how long that would take, how connected this team could get on all three phases. And so the support of one another, all of those things, that's to me, you know, the faster we could do that. And I thought the team's done a good job of fast-tracking the feeling out process, putting agendas to the side, you know, absolutely all-out effort. Like, those are the non-negotiables that we'd have to have. I think that, you know, the team has got that way faster than you'd say like a more established team, you know, would have some of those things in place. So those are some of the things that don't show up on the stat sheet that I certainly look for.
You've been a head coach before. You've been an assistant with other squads. Protecting, as your national profile grows, especially your quarterback, how have you seen coaches, I'll use the word protect, but make sure that they're not caught up in that swirl?
Got it. I would say the one thing that's it's very easy to support Jaden. And the reason I say that, Chick, because you see it every day in terms of the work that he's, you know, puts in and goes for it. So there's no extra things that you have to say to him in this regard, because, like, you see the character of what the man is. Had it been up and down and I was worried, I'd have that conversation. But all he has shown all of us since he's been here is like a relentless approach to getting better and staying in the moment. And he's got like a remarkable level-headedness to him that's wise, you know, beyond his age. So if I had concerns, I would have already addressed it. I'm certain of that. But he is a very easy guy as a support, and being on this journey with him and starting with it together, like, it's a really cool thing that I get to be a part of with him.
I know Austin Eckler, you're going to keep an eye on him as he returns. B-Rob said in the locker room the other night, Austin's coming back, Jeremy's pretty good. We'll see what kind of rotation we have with the running back with a smile on his face. What a pleasure to have for a coach to have a lot of guys.
Yeah, they have a real standard about them in the room. And so you're right, first things with Austin. He's hit all the markers on the return to play, you know, protocols that's required. So all the arrows are looking up for him. And so he brings a lot to us, Chick, both on offense and on special teams. Austin's standard as a ball player is really high. The techniques, the assignments, you know, the support of others, pound for pound, he's one of our strongest players. And so everybody has their own, you know, roles and spaces that they play. And I think as seasons progress, those roles start to emerge more and more. And it was very cool to see Jeremy, when called upon, is definitely ready to deliver. And that's kind of what he's made up to.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
For Jaden, not a lot of negatives through the first four games. As he grows and evolves, what's the next step in this process for Jaden?
That's a great question by you. I would say that staying consistent in this process, like staying in this pocket of the people, you know, that he's getting ready. And so now that you've established a routine of what that looks like, that you're just able to stay into that spot over the long haul. Like, here we are just starting October. And so, like, staying in that process and having routines for any ball player or coach too, it's really important. So that way you don't kind of get out of whack. All of a sudden you could miss something and then you're out of whack. So for him, the process that he goes through, he's very strict about it. And I think that's a big part of him, just staying in that pocket. But he's such a fantastic teammate. The guys are here to support him in just about any way you could.
I think I asked you in August about the identity of this team, and you said, not there yet. Not there. Four games in, is that identity starting to develop? And where are you at in terms of building that culture and identity that you want to create?
Yeah, I would say we're getting closer to that. I know that the culture part is a big one for us. And it's, you know, like, culture kind of defined of like how a group lives their life together. And that's, you know, for us, those are the standards that we see, you know, the effort, you know, the physicality, the things that we want to play with. Has it been all perfect? Hell no. But there is a lot of things that show like how far people are in for one another, and those kind of things go a long way to helping that identity come to shape. But it takes a while to fully, you know, go through that. And, you know, every time we're playing, you know, you just see that over and over. And so, yeah, we're building that, but by no means in four games, you know, or, you know, we where we're going to be 2 months from now, when we look back, we're going to say we're a lot better, you know, than we were 8 weeks ago, just by the way the guys go after it and compete and battle for it. And so those are the things that, you know, I'll keep track of as we're.
Hey, Dan, in what ways have you seen Jaden step up as a leader over the last, you know, 4 weeks or so since the season started?
I'd say, I don't know if it's like stepping up, but he's very much authentically like himself. And that, to me, is one of the very best ways to lead, that he's not trying to do it in some other fashion. Like I said, maybe on Monday after a PAT, you saw him and Wagner meeting guys, you know, as they're coming off the field after an extra point. That's an example of his support and, you know, the way that he leans into others to help them get better. And so I'd say that's probably my example, that I see that leaning in by him in his own authentic way. And I think for any of us that have been around a good leader, you saw him the same all the time. You know, they weren't up and down and, you know, trying to be somebody they weren't. I think that's the easiest person to see through, to say like he's not that around somebody else. And so for him, if you came in here on a Monday or a Thursday or the next week, you'd see this same high character person putting in the work, doing the things necessary. And over time, man, you have a lot of appreciation for that, bless, because of that way that he goes about his business.
Hey, Dan, what's been your impression of the work that Bobby Johnson has done with the offensive line? And as you look at kind of the year-over-year improvement, is that more based on coaching, on style of play, on offensive play calling? What do you kind of foresee there?
Yeah, I think the first thing for he and Darnell and Shane, they've got a nice crew of these guys that work with the offensive line. And that position, you know, the skill work, it's over and over again. So to see these guys drilling pre-practice, post-practice, the connection of them all together, I love seeing like Allegretti and Biotic on the sideline together, talking it through, like encouraging one another. And that position has so much cohesion that's needed to communicate on every play. It's going to even improve more. And we put a lot of stress on those guys, calling things at the line of scrimmage, changing plays, different snap count, all of it that goes into it. So, yeah, we're certainly pleased with the start of the guys, and we feel like, you know, we're on the way up in that space.
Last one.
Coach, how do you prepare a defense to face someone like Deshaun Watson, who flashed high-caliber play early in his career but has kind of struggled more in recent seasons? Are you looking all the way back at his Texans film, or are you focusing on his more recent play? How do you prepare that defense?
Yeah, the Cleveland tape, you know, from last season and from this season are the ones that we use. I think we all know, like, Deshaun's ability to get outside the pocket and convert and create in that way. So anytime a player is a dual threat of runs and passes and, you know, can convert throwing it or with their legs, like, that's a big deal. They've got a number of weapons, you know, on their offense. And so, you know, not just, you know, directed to him, but each game, you know, game plan a little bit different. How do you go about it? Our own team has a quarterback that gets outside the pocket and makes a lot of plays. So we like doing competitions even at practice. You'll see that today. You'll see that tomorrow, where we just go the ones against the ones. And we feel like that sharpening of one another is really an important part of what we do, where the offense goes against the defense. We do it tomorrow again in the red zone. Today there'll be some third downs for that. It's not game plan specific towards Cleveland, and it's just – us against us, you know, having to guard Terry and try to keep Jaden contained, and here's a blitz package. All of that goes into, you know, getting yourself ready to play a quarterback. We're fortunate that our own style is able to, you know, lean into that.
All right, thanks, Coach.
All right, you guys have a great day.
All right, that's Dan Quinn talking to the media out here at the park, at Commander's Park. JP and I will take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Going to catch up on some college football after that Bama-Georgia game. Holy moly. David Ubbin from The Athletic will join us next. Talk about playoffs. They're 5 games in college football, B.
Yeah.
What I do want to do right now is give away some tickets. Thomas Rhett, country singer. I actually really like Thomas Rhett. Caller number 10 right now. You win 2 tickets to see Thomas Rhett, the Better in Boots Tour. Now, this is a year out. August 22nd, 2025 at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events.
Got to put those in somewhere, someplace special.
Yeah, you got to save that email. You got to save that email.
Yes.
What stood out to you from DQ?
I mean, just the stuff about Jaden and like people. I think everyone is so concerned about whether or not he's going to get overwhelmed or whatever by what's going on. But you and I have seen it. Dan has talked about it multiple times to where this kid just want to work. He doesn't care about all that stuff.
Totally.
You know, and I think a lot of people look at the NFL as the end-all, be-all. But the SEC is amazing, and it's huge. And they get bigger crowds, and they have a lot of hype and things going on with that. The dude's running the Heisman Trophy. He's been through the lights. And to come into this with the attitude he has is special. And when he was asked, how do you all protect him? He said it makes it easy because he doesn't get concerned with all that stuff. And I think that right there is great because when your main guy is doing the right stuff, everybody else will always fall. And you heard me say it before about Alex Ovechkin, sorry about Tom Brady. When your best is the hardest work on your team, everybody else falls in line.
Totally agree. I mean, whether it was real or it was some dumb internet controversy, do you remember when Robert was running around and he takes some hits and the O-line weren't in a big hurry to pick him up? You remember that?
Yeah.
There were real questions about how much work were you putting in.
Hey.
Like, you cannot force people to buy into leadership.
The kangaroo court will show you.
These things happen or they don't.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget. It must have been the 2016 election. We were doing just like a cheesy TV bit, mm-hmm. walking around. Hey, you know, if one person in this locker room had to run for president, who would it be? And damn near every person in there said Colt, that Colt was the guy. And then I remember Josh Norman, who kind of played the part a little. Josh cared about the perception and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, has anybody said Kirk? I was like, I don't think so. He's like, well, I'm going to say Kirk then. Kirk's our starting quarterback. But, like, that stuff isn't.
But he just said it because nobody else said it.
Right.
He didn't say it because he really felt it.
But there is a thing, there is a reality in the world that, like, you gravitate towards the people that have that natural charisma and that show they will fight for you. They are putting in the work to be your leader.
See,
like, talk is cheap.
When I hear guys, when they ask guys questions or they ask them about leadership, and when the veteran guys mention Jaden, without being asked specifically about Jaden, it tells you a lot. And I think that's what we have to start looking at where, you know, I know we've had things that we've dealt with, but sometimes you got to just cut off what was and start looking at what is and give people credit for what they actually do, not for what somebody else did. You know what I mean? And I think we are, as human beings, we do it, all of us. We see something happen and we think nothing is going to happen differently, but we expect something differently.
Also, some news there. It looks like you'll get Eckler back, opening the window for McGee and Mariota and Obata. Crowder going to IR, which kind of creates a roster spot for somebody if they want it. My guess is that's McGee. We'll see. I also loved – now, David Harrison – asked a fairly innocuous question about a wide receiver too, and Dan was like, "We're focused on the guys we got."
Yeah, we'll let y'all deal with that.
That was shutting down any Devontae Adams.
I love when he does stuff like that too. Shut it down. No deal.
Shut it down. Load it down. Shut it up. Shop. When we come back, we're talking college football.